in Psalm 111, I am just going to ask this morning that we look at the first two verses. I deacons read the entire number, 111th number of Psalm, but I'm asking that we look at the first two verses that simply say, "Praise ye the Lord." I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright. Don't miss that. Stay right there. Praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my in the assembly of the upright. Don't miss that word, assembly. And in the congregation. Don't miss that word, congregation. The works of the Lord are great. The works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. And I just want to stay with this worship theme this month, and I just want to talk about your worship needs to be for real. Your worship needs to be for real. As a teacher, oftentimes I had to kind of reassure myself that I had the attention of my students. And so I would say to my students that I need you to pay attention to Mr. J. And whatever Mr. J does, that's exactly what I need you to do. So whatever I do this morning, I'm going to ask you to do it. That's called follow the leader. You can follow the leader with stuff like that. But when it comes to worship, you don't follow the leader. You have to have your own worship. You can't imitate somebody else. You have to have your own worship. So this morning, I began by saying to you that I'm going to challenge some of our old ways of thinking this morning. And the message is going to be short, and yet it's going to be packed with nuggets that deal with real worship. And do I have anybody in here who understands that sometimes you need to shift from our old ways of thinking? And the lack of shift in thinking concerning your worship can actually hinder your blessings. I know what we have been taught in the past, and yet I say to you that we need to unlearn some stuff that we have been taught. And while at the same time, we need to hold on to some things that we have been taught. So I want to ask you this morning to let this soak in. I want to give you this, and I actually want this to soak in that I'm getting ready to say to you this morning. And I want you to listen to me, and I need you to hear me out. I want to say to you this morning that if your shout comes before your worship, then your shout is out of place. Let me let that soak in. If your shout comes before your worship, then your shout is out of place. We need to learn that worship is more than a two-hour experience on Sunday morning. Let me say that again. Worship has to be more than a two-hour experience on Sunday morning. Now y'all know that I love me some Linda Joshua. And the person that you see at church and the person that you know that I love, I'm going to tell you there's another side of her that I love even more. And that is the fact that she, in our home, demonstrates the characteristics of a worshiper. She is a worshiper. She can have worship all by herself. I sometimes just sit in the bedroom and she in the family room and she's got something going and I'm just in there listening to her. You know, she gonna testify to everything. She got something to say to anything you say about God. She's go, huh, yes, say it, yes, say it, yes, he is. That's a beautiful thing to have your own worship, amen? Not to have to wait on somebody else to get their worship. It's a beautiful thing to have your own worship. So the psalmist gives us a great illustration of what true worship is really about. And we just read what it was about. The English word worship means to ascribe to the highest worth of another being, and that being is higher than you are. So you've got to ascribe to the worth of that higher being. Somebody that you worship, you usually redeem them or see them as being at a level higher than you are, and that's why you worship them. When we worship, here's what we're doing. When we worship, we're saying, God, you are number one in my life. You come before everything, and you come before everybody. Somebody ought to testify to that. When you worship, you are putting God at a level where God comes before everybody and everything else in your life. So here's my question. Why is it that we allow everybody and everything else to interfere with our worship if God comes before everybody and everything else? Somebody talk with me this morning. Worship has to become your way of life. Tell somebody, worship has to become your way of life. And can I share something with you? And I'm going to say this at the beginning, and I'm going to say this at the end, that our worship on Sunday is nothing more than a reflection of the worship that we do all week long. If you come in here and your worship is dried up on Sunday, then your worship been dry all week long. Somebody talk back to me. I ain't talking about nobody. I'm just talking about what I'm talking about. If you come in here and your worship is, somebody help me out, your worship is bone dry, then you've been bone dry all week. Somebody talk back with me. Here's a nugget I want to give to you. A W-E-E-K without worship will make you W-E-A-K. I got some people looking at me like, what did he just spell? He said, tell them what I said. I said that a 7-day week without worship will make you weak spiritually. In essence, is what I just said. So before we can learn what the psalmist is saying and what he means about worship, let's talk about why we have to have messages on subjects entitled worship. Worship should be something that is automatic for the child of God. Worship ought to be an automatic thing, but yet we have books upon books trying to teach us how to properly worship our God. And one reason why it's so hard for us to worship is because worship has to be top priority on our list in our lives. Years ago, Sister Sheila Rogers, I never will forget this, was speaking at a Woman's Day thing across the street. And she said this, and I'll never forget it. She says that many of us want God to be prominent in our lives, but we don't want him to be preeminent in our lives. Prominent means he hangs around. Preeminent means he's in first place in our lives. A lot of us want God to own us, but we don't want him to be the landlord. The landlord tells you you got to keep your property up and tells you how you got to keep your house. Somebody talk with me this morning. And while priority may be one reason for lack of worship, another could be that we simply don't know how to worship. And so this month, I just want to take time, and I just want to be a teacher this week. We can do all the hooping and the hollering, but I need you to leave here with some stuff this morning in your bag, amen? That's the focus of the message today. If there were ever a time when a man in the Bible that could school us on worshiping God, I would say that the psalmist would be a great teacher on how to worship God. In Psalms 111, the psalmist opens up this song with praise the Lord. And the Hebrew word for praise is Allah. It's Allah, H-A-L-L-A-H. And the Hebrew word for Lord is Yahweh. And it's often just shortened to Yah. And so you get Alleluia, which our little girl just finished saying is the highest praise. Put those together, and that hallelujah will stir up some things in your life. Sometimes, baby, you just got to get you a hallelujah praise. Sometimes, you got to block out everything. Sometimes, let me try this. I want you to put on blinders. And this is all I want you to do. I just want you to put this on. I just want you to do this right here. You don't even have to touch your face, because Trump said he hadn't touched his face in 2 weeks. So you ain't got to touch it. Just do this right here. Just put you on some blinders and start blocking out everything else. And just talk to God and tell God, hallelujah. Tell God hallelujah. Try opening your mouth and telling God hallelujah. Tell God hallelujah. Tell God I give you the highest praise. Everything to my right and everything to my left, I block out. Everything in front of me, I'm blocking out. And everything behind me, I'm blocking out so that I can just give you the highest praise. Because I honor you, Lord, and I put you first. I put you first. I put you above all things in my life. I put you above everything in my life. David shows us, the psalmist shows us, that to truly worship, we must know who we are to direct all of our praise to. And all of our praise has to go to God. I've told you this and I'll tell you this again. We're good at giving other people praise, and we're good at worshiping other people, when the fact is we need to worship our God. We'll give doctors credit for what God did. Somebody help me out. We'll give doctors credit for what God did. Is there anybody in here know that if you got a good doctor, you got a good doctor because God gave your good doctor good sense enough to take care of you? Somebody needs to give God the praise. Somebody needs to worship God in the house. I got the best doctor in the world. All God's got to do is pull the plug on one breath, and ain't a thing he can do for you. But when you got God on your side, you got everything you need. So I got a couple of points, and I'm getting out of here. My first point is, how are we to worship? The psalmist gives us a perfect illustration in verse 2. He says, I will give thanks to the Lord. And he said, I'll do it with all my heart. And let me help you. Let me help you with something. Because I know that I know that so often we look at the word heart, and we think about heart, and we think about heart, we think about what's beating in here. We think about this thing that's beating in here. But the heart of the matter, the real heart of the matter, Tamir, when you really get down to the real heart of the matter, the heart of the matter is really what's in your head, because what's in your head transcends down to your spirit, because the scripture says, not so a man's heart beateth is he, but so a man thinketh is he. Somebody need to talk back to me this morning. So a man thinketh is he. I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart. The psalmist brought nothing less than his whole heart. Sometimes you got to come in here and you got to give everything you have to give. You got to give God everything you have to give. And Shondas, we got to get to the point that we don't allow what other people think about us, how people, other people feel about us to interfere with our worship. But we got to say, baby, you don't know what I have been through this week. You don't know what God has brought me from this week. You don't know how good God has been to me this week. You don't know the hell I've caught. You don't know the struggles I've had. And you think I'm coming in here and I'm going to be inhibited and prohibited by you because you don't want to praise God? You may not want to worship him. You may not want to praise him. But girl, you better scoot over, because I'm getting ready to walk all over you. Because when I think about the goodness of God and how God has been good to me, I just can't help. Woo! Anybody got some can't help it in here? I can't help. But give God some praise. I can't help but worship him. And I worship him with my whole heart. He brought nothing. The psalmist brought nothing than less than his whole heart. And when you come to God with your whole heart, you're representing your whole being, everything that I'm about. I worship you with everything that I'm about, every ounce of me, every fiber within me. I worship you with that. David, the psalmist is worshiping God with every part of his being, everything that's in me, every fiber, every strand of hair. My nails worship you. My toes worship you. Everything worships you. And when you start worshiping God, all of a sudden you'll start feeling something moving on the inside of you. Do I have anybody feeling me in the house on how we need to worship God? You got to worship God with everything. Not just your mouth. Your hands ought to have some work. Your feet ought to have, somebody talk to me, ought to have some worship in them. I got worship in my knees. I got worship in my legs. I got worship in my back. I got worship just all over me. You got to worship him with everything you got. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And don't you get this thing twisted. Don't you get this twisted. Because many folks will stand and say, in order to worship God, you got to be shedding tears. You got to raise up holy hands, and you got to be shouting with joy. No, that ain't how you worship God. Listen, you shedding tears because you did worship God. You raising your hand because you did worship God. That's an effect from having worshiped God. Because when I start thinking about all this man has done for me, now my hands go up. Now my tears come down. Now my feet get to moving. Because I think about the goodness of God. Somebody talk with me. I don't raise my hands to worship God. I raise my hands because I have worshiped God. Pardon me. I hate to keep using this same example, but I'm going to use this example. I ain't crying. Just because you crying don't mean you worshiping God. Just because you crying don't mean you worshiping God. And I hate to use this example, and I ain't in nobody's business, and I ain't talking about nobody, but I done seen a whole bunch of 49ers and Saints fans crying because they lost a game. I'm just talking about what I'm talking about. I ain't talking about nobody. I done seen a lot of Green Bay Packers fans crying because they lost a game. Just because you crying does not mean that you worshiping God. Baby, when you start worshiping God and you get somewhere and sit yourself down and get in your corner and get still and start thinking about where God has brought you from, now tears start coming down, thinking about the sacrifice that he made on Friday when he gave his son. Now you start crying. That's because you got worship on the inside of you. Is there anybody can say, I worship him today? Is there anybody can say, I worship him today? Because of who he is. Because of who he is. You got to remember, if worship causes you to shout, so be it. If worship causes you to cry, so be it. If worship causes you to jump, so be it. Just as long as worship comes before your reaction. Your reaction can't come before worship. Worship has to come before your reaction. Is anybody feeling me in the house today? Worship comes after you have worked. Reactions come after you worship. So my first point is, how are we to worship him? My second point is, where are we to worship him? The scripture tells us. How many of you have ever heard people say this? You invite them to church and they tell you, when you invite them to church, they say to you, I would go, but I really like to watch my worship on my TV. I'm more comfortable watching Joel Osteen on Sunday morning. Well, can I help you out? I ain't got nothing against your 1,000 thread count sheets. I ain't got nothing against your oversized recliner. I ain't got nothing against your cool ones in the refrigerator that you sit and sip on while you watching Joel. I ain't got nothing against your 70-inch TV. It's all beautiful and great to admire, but it's not the sole place where you ought to come in off of worship. David says, the psalmist says, I will worship in the company of the upright and in the assembling of the children of God. And the children of God ought to come together and ought to worship God. Now, do I have to have all of y'all to worship? No, I don't. But every now and then, we ought to come together and just worship God. Somebody talk to me. It's a good thing when the saints come together. It's calmly. It's beautiful when the saints come together and worship God. Let me tell you. Tell you something. It's nice being at able to watch a basketball game on TV or to listen to it on the radio. But y'all, there's just something about being there. Sitting in the bleachers, the smell of the popcorn and the hot dogs. There's something about when you hear that ball, you can hear it hitting the strings and it didn't even touch the rim. It's just something about it, something about the sound of the crowd. And when you get in a situation like that, you go to a game, it's folks around you you don't even know. And certain things happen during the game, Vanessa, and folks will be up high-fiving one another, don't even know each other. And yet we come in God's house and we sit like dead men and we know each other and we don't even give God praise. We don't even take a moment to do anything while we in here. We come in here and leave just like we left. Something is wrong if you leave just like you came in this house. When you live at the game, you get motivated along with the others that you're around, and it's catching. There's something about being in church with fellow believers who all come in one mind and in one accord, and that is to worship the true and living God. And I came to tell you this morning, when you worship, it becomes contagious. You get uplifted when you worship God. You ought to try it this morning. You ought to try it this morning. I got a row here that's almost all the way up. Y'all ought to try it this morning. You ought to try getting uplifted. You ought to try catching on fire from somebody else. You ought to try rejoicing over the goodness of God and all that God has done in your life. It's just a good thing to worship the Lord. Yes, it is. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. Baby girl, when you stood up there and said hallelujah and you raised your hand, baby, I could feel your hallelujah all the way down in my seat. I could feel it running down in my bones. I can't get that watching you on TV. I need to be in the assembly of the saints. I need to be where the saints are. There's something uplifting when you come to the house of God. When you come in the house of God and you hear a testimony from somebody that had cancer and now they are praising God, talking about he set me free, it's a different thing. He cured me of cancer, it's a different story. I know somewhere we got a member in the house. I actually think she might be watching us in the choir room. And I saw her come in church, and when she came in the church, I don't want to embarrass anybody. It is what it is. But I'm telling you, Valise Harvey is somewhere in the house. And I'm telling you, it wasn't long ago that I stood right over here and told Valise, I said, Valise, you just keep on trusting in God. And then women got up and they just started coming over here and encouraging her. And she's in the house today because God will do marvelous things when we get together as saints and come together to worship him. Don't tell me what God won't do, because I tried it for myself. I tried it for myself, and I know what God can do. I know what he can do. When you got a brother that's been through cancer, but you got another brother going through, and the brother that's been through can say, he brought me out. That shows you that God will work when we come and assemble ourselves. But that's why you can't be ashamed. Excuse me for crying, but you just can't be ashamed. You cannot be ashamed to worship God. You got to get bold in your worship in 2020. You got to get bold in your worship in 2020. You got to stand boldly on the word of God in 2020. We got somebody in here got cancer right now. But I need somebody in here that has had cancer and now you cancer free to testify that he'll bring you out if you trust in him. Do I have anybody that I'm talking about, somebody can come down here and not be ashamed to come down here and say, I'm a living testimony to you that it wasn't a doctor that did it. I'm a living witness. I'm a living witness. It wasn't a doctor that did it. Yes, sir. It wasn't a doctor that did it. It wasn't a doctor that did it. But I'm here to tell you what God can do when you worship him. Our worship's got to be live. Our worship's got to be live. I'll be doggone if I'm going to let the folks in the club be any louder than I am. I'm getting ready to get louder and louder and louder and louder and louder about the goodness of God. Now look at this example. Look at these women. But let me tell you something. Women are not the only ones can be healed from cancer. Women are not the only ones God can bring back from cancer. There are men that God has brought back from cancer. And if the women can be bold, the men need to be bold and say that I've been down and I've been out, but God, brought me through. Yes, sir. Tell you something about coming to God's house. You can come in God's house right now. And when you come in God's house, you can be down and out and feeling bad. And all you got to do is just get around the saints. And when you get around the saints, there's something about it. All of a sudden, you start feeling something moving on the altar of your heart. Somebody tell God, thank you this morning. Thank you that I'm able to assemble with the saints. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm just about done. I'm 5 minutes into my message. I'm just about out of here. You get something when you come to the church house. You don't get sitting on your couch. Folks talking about, I attend Bedside Baptist on Sunday morning. You can't get what we get when you come into the house of the Lord. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Praise the Lord. The psalmist says in Psalms 150:1, he says you ought to praise him in the sanctuary. And I told you last week, what makes this a sanctuary is when the people come in and become worshipers, then it becomes a sanctuary. Until you come in and make it a sanctuary, it's an auditorium. But you move it from auditorium to sanctuary when you get into your worship. I got to get out of here. So how are we to pray worship? Where are we to worship? And then my last question to you is, why are we to worship? The psalmist says, great are the works of the Lord. And the psalmist explains with this opening drive that I'm honoring my Lord. I'm thanking the one from whom all blessings come. I'm recognizing that he's the Lord. This is why. Why I worship him. I'm recognizing that he's the Lord. This is why I worship him. I give him credit for the strength that I have. This is why I worship him, because he is my provider. Somebody ought to praise the Lord with me this morning. This is why I worship him, because he's the one that puts food on my table. This is why I worship him, because he is my shepherd and I shall not want. This is why I worship him, because goodness and mercy just keeps on following me every day of my life. This is why I worship him. If you don't want to worship him for that, then you ought to just worship him for his creation. Just because he's the creator. Every time you feel a breeze, you ought to say, thank you, Lord. And here's what gets me. We got nerve enough to complain because it's raining, when you ought to be saying, thank you, Lord Jesus. Because you could dry this place up and we could be in a drought. But thank you, Lord Jesus, that you decided to send rain. Listen, baby, you ought to worship God because ain't nobody like him. There's no artist that can go to a tree and make the leaves turn colors during different seasons of the year. Nobody but Jesus, nobody but God could do that. Nobody but God. I ain't never seen nobody like him. All the cats say meow. All the dogs, woof, woof. I ain't never seen nobody like him. Don't no cat get mixed up with no dog. Don't no dog come here going meow, meow. Don't no cat here come here bow, wow, bow, wow. No, God made them all in order. He ain't messed up nothing. Ain't none of his recipes messed up. Deacon Murley, I'm a pretty good cook. But every now and then I cook something, and when it's finished, we eat it. But I say, I left something out of this. I don't know what I left out, but I know I left something out of this recipe, because this don't taste exactly like it's supposed to. But with God, Let me go over here and talk to these people that know something about him. With God, there's not one recipe that he's ever messed up. The sun still gets up in the morning. The moon still comes up at night. Somebody help me out. Somebody help me out. Somebody help me out. Folks talking about, you can't tell what season it is. I know what season it is. Folks, you can't tell what time it is. We changed the clock tonight, this morning. Baby, because we changed the clock, did not extend your time here any longer than it was going to be in the beginning. Matter of fact, they could have told you that instead of this being Sunday, they could have told you it's Saturday. But when he gets ready for you, you're getting out of here. He does not mess up on anything. Somebody ought to praise him. So why do we praise him? We praise him. We worship him because he is dependable. He's dependable. He's dependable. Come here. Dennis, come here. Bring your little one with you. Come here a minute. I want to show you something. I'm getting out of here. He's dependable. Y'all come here. Both of y'all, come here a minute. I'm going to show you something of why he's so dependable. Stand right here, and you stand down there. No, you stand up here, and you stand right there, Daddy. Face him, and I want you to imagine that this building is on fire, and I want you to imagine that you're on the second floor, not the first floor, but on the second floor, and that's your daddy right there. Amen? All right, now move over. Now you come here. Yes. And I'm going to say to you, son, here's the biggest man in the church. Thank you, Pastor. And what I need you to do is I need you to jump and jump in his arms and put your arms out, man. And I need you to jump in his arms. Son, don't you trust him just because he's big. That ain't none of your daddy. That ain't none of your daddy. That ain't none of your daddy. Don't you trust him because that ain't none of your daddy. Don't you put your arms out and jump. Tell him you the biggest man in town. Come on, jump, son. Tell him to jump, son. Don't you jump, son. Don't you jump. That ain't none of your daddy. That ain't none of your daddy. That ain't none of your daddy. Move out the way. Move out the way. Move out the way. Come here. Come here. Come here, Harvey, and stand right there. Tell him. Tell him I'm the strongest man in town. Tell him I'm the strongest man. Say ain't nobody stronger than I am. Jump, son. Jump. Don't you jump, son. Don't you jump, son, because that ain't none of your daddy. But hold on a minute. Move out the way, man. Now come right there, Dennis. Now I tell him to jump. Jump. Hello, somebody. You jump when you trust your daddy. That's why you worship him. Somebody ought to praise God in the house. You can jump when you can trust your daddy. You can jump in your daddy's arms. Somebody ought to be jumping right now because you're in your daddy's arms. That's why you can worship him, because he's your daddy and he got you covered. Makes a difference when it's your daddy, doesn't it? Makes a difference when it's your daddy, doesn't it? Soon as that boy, he didn't, and here's the thing about you, Dennis. Here's the thing about you. You didn't even have to identify yourself. You didn't tell him you were the strongest. You didn't tell him how much you can lift, how much you can hold. All you did is say, jump. And when he heard his daddy's voice, he just automatically leaped into your arm. Because when you know your daddy's voice, when you're a worshiper and you know your daddy's voice, you can jump. Is there anybody in here know your daddy's voice? If you know your daddy's voice, then you ought to get up this morning and just do a little jump this morning. Somebody ought to jump. Somebody ought to jump. Somebody ought to jump. Somebody ought to jump. Somebody ought to. Somebody ought to. Somebody ought to. Somebody ought to. Somebody ought to just jump this morning. Because you know your daddy's voice. You know the one. You know the one that went to Calvary. You know the one that died on the cross. And you know the one that got up early on Sunday morning. And you ought to just stretch your hands out and give God some praise. Your worship needs to be for real. Your worship needs to be for real. With the younger generation, they don't always say, come on in. That's why I hang around some younger folks. Here's what they say. They say, come through. Come through. Well, we got some people in the house today. You need to come through. We got somebody need to come through. Doors of the church open and you need to come through. You need to come give it over to him. You need to come through. Just come, not through, but through. Come through. We got some people need to come through. You know you need to come back. You need to be back home. You need to give your life over to Jesus. I'm asking you this morning, will you come through? The doors stand open. Come through. Come through. Come through. Come through. Come through. Come through this morning. Come through. Come through. The doors stand open. Come through. Bless you, my sisters. The doors stand open. Bless you, my sister. Come through. Walk the aisle. Come through. The doors stand open. Come through. You don't have to walk, don't walk. I know there's some people getting ready for some other things in the back, and they have to, but if you don't have to walk, don't walk. Come through. The doors stand open. Our choir. I think that makes
to worry, and don't you be afraid. Joy comes in the morning.
Yes, it does.
Troubles, they don't last always. Remember there's a friend in Jesus.
Yes, it is.
Who will wipe your tears away. And when your heart is broken, just lift your hands and say,
why don't you come today?
Oh, I know that I can make it. I know that I can stand. No matter what may come my way, my life is in your hands.
Calling you right now.
With Jesus, I can make it.
Yes, sir.
I know that I can stand.
You ought to try.
No matter what may come my way, my life is in your hand. You don't have to worry.
You don't have to worry.
And don't you be afraid.
When you try, Jesus.
Joy comes in the morning.
Why don't you come?
Troubles, they don't last always. Remember there's a friend in Jesus who will wipe your tears away. And if your heart is broken, just lift your hands.
Will there be enough? Step out of faith today.
I know that I can make it.
Yes, I do.
I know that I can stand.
No matter.
No matter what may come my way.
That's why you all are trying.
My life is in your hands.
Thank you, Jesus.
What comes my way, my life is in your hands.
Put your life in his hands.
Yeah,
try it today.
My life in your hands.
Try Jesus.
My life is in your hands.
Put your life in his hands, and it'll never be the same. Thank you. Come on, let's give God another hand clap of praise for what he has done.